from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Friday afternoon, August the 29th, 2014. Kyle Neese is the speaker of the service teaching on limitless power of prayer.
What's the song or something about that name?
Jesus, there is something about that name Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord, we just thank you that there is something about your name. We thank you, Father, that we share a common cause, Lord, that we can call on your name as believers. Lord, we thank you for the place of access. I thank you for this place. It's a place of access. It's a window of opportunity. It's a place where, Lord, we can look into, Lord. We can look into the things of God and have you, Lord, look into us, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you're mindful of the things that concern us. I thank you that, Lord, you desire for us to understand you. You're mindful of the things that trouble us and bother us. So, Lord, we ask you, deliver us from all of the works of the enemy, all the powers of the enemy, all of the voices of the strong man that seeks to speak to us, Lord, to hinder our believing on you to do more, exceedingly beyond what we could think or ask. So, Lord, we just ask you right now. We pray that, Lord, in this word, you would increase our faith. You'd increase our faith as it relates to prayer. You would increase our faith and our willingness, Lord, to believe you in spite of the things that we see. We wouldn't listen to the enemy's voice, but you'd help us, Lord, to overcome. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 18. An important parable Jesus tells, a special place where Jesus speaks of the importance of something. I like prayer. If you know, it was mentioned last night about being on the offensive and being off, you know, playing offense. You know, I thought, you know, that's true. And while we as believers, you want to play offense if you ever play team sports, you play offense all you can. You want to play offense all you can. You're not always going to be able to play offense. Sometimes, you know what I mean? You're realistically, probably practically speaking, working out your salvation. If it was all easy, it wouldn't be anything to work out. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes there you're going to be on defense, perhaps on your heels, but you play offense as much as possible. Prayer is God's power and his ability to enable offensive play. I mean, so that we might not be taken captive, but we might overpower works of the enemy. You know, I thought we were praying for someone this morning, and that word unbelief, yeah, they were just kind of confessing of something that they were having a hard time believing God. And I thought, well, I could really relate to that. Can you relate to that? Sometimes the unbelief. The thing that your own two eyes see and the devil begins to tell you, and you believe, you take it, hook, line, sinker, and believe it's all what you're seeing, all what you think. And that's the way that is. It's just the way it is, in spite of what God said. You know, that's a devilish, wicked place, unbelief. And you know, it's probably your greatest foe, the spirit of unbelief. I heard recently someone that I said his name, you probably would have heard of him. I'm not really that familiar with him, but recently someone has, for years I've heard about him, but he made a comment And someone's been sending me his tapes from his ministry, sends out pre-tapes. And so he's sending some tapes out, and I think it was just the caption on one particular tape, but I thought, that's it? You know, for years we've wondered why the body of Christ couldn't get together. We've got so many different schisms and isms, and everybody's in a different camp, and if you don't like that, well, I'll go over here because they believe the way I believe, the way I grew up, the way I think. You know, he said that the sin of the problem in the church is unbelief. Well, that's it. That's our problem. We have a hard time believing, well, the miracles or the gifts or the things that, though they're not in operation, and we have a hard time believing that. We still believe in the devil when we read about him in the New Testament, but beyond that, we don't realize that he's beating our brains out, you know, in the here and now because of our unbelief.
Amen.
And we need to believe.
Yes.
We need to believe God, and that is probably our greatest problem, isn't it? The greatest problem in the church is the sin of unbelief. You know, it's important to state and restate again the importance of prayer, of our prayer and the believing faith that happens when we're praying. Believing faith, that's important to recognize. You know, praying, believing faith is the key to encouraging your life. It's the key to your encouragement, the key to encouraging other people. It's that believing faith. Faith to believe. You know, it comes from hearing God's word. Mm-hmm. But it also comes from the proving ground that's there in that place of His presence. Because, you know, apart from that, we really can't hear correctly. We can't read it and understand it correctly, or we can't really hear what God's saying to be new and fresh. You know, it's like a song that I can sing. You know, you can sing a song and sing it by the book, sing it by rote, and you kind of, it's about what you get. But to sing it with feeling and heart, you know, it takes being able to look at it and read it, you know, line on line, but then you got to get away from it, and you got to develop a hearing ear that somewhere there's a gifting that takes place and goes beyond that. And I think that's the way of the word that we've heard. And without the place of prayer, we miss that. Well, you know, we there's a limitless power in our prayer, and that's the point. That's the kind of point of this message that God wants a limit. He wants you and I to have that limitless power when we pray. And stop just looking at things as we see them. I've been reading some things in Ian Bounds' book. There may be that book of Complete Works of Prayer back there. I've been reading some in that. But he makes a point, and he says, feeble faith brings forth feeble prayer. Feeble faith brings forth feeble, I guess, just sort of half-hearted, feeble prayer. And I think it would be true to say, conversely, feeble prayer is indicative of a feeble, very limited faith. You know, when we fail to pray, or feeble prayer, it indicates that we really don't believe what we're talking about. And I don't know about you, but that's the hardest thing to do. It's easier to read the Bible for me than it is to pray.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the Bible's kind of concrete. It is what it is. Yeah. Just word for word. I'm going to get something when I read it. And it's important that I do that. But it's important that I learn to come to that place of prayer, because prayer is the missing part, the unseen thing that the Spirit of God works with these words and causes them to jump off the page. And without that place of prayer, I'm not believing correctly, and God wants me to He doesn't want my faith to be limited. So it's important. It's important to pray. Look at this little parable Jesus told, and He said this in verse 8. Chapter 18, Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, this is the purpose of the parable, so that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pretty clear, isn't it? Sometimes, there's been a few times I've sent my son a particular scripture and said, he sent me back, oh, that's so clear, I can see it, it's just real clear. It's pretty clear. Jesus tells this parable so that men ought always, that's not giving up. That's persisting. That's enduring. That's overcoming. That's learning to endure and continue in prayer. That men ought always to pray and not faint. Then he tells the story of a certain judge in a certain city and a widow who continued to come and have all. Finally, he broke down and gave her what she requested. But I want to turn your attention to the last part of this little passage in verse 8, where he says this, after he says that how will God not avenge His elect who cry to Him day and night? In other words, those who pray. Will He bear long with them? Verse 8 says, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily, nevertheless. In other words, God's going to answer if we just keep being persistent. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, Shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? What's the point he's making? You could draw a line from that word about faith and draw it right up to what Jesus said, always pray. You cannot separate the two. If you don't pray, you can't have faith. You just can't. It won't be correct. It'll be missing. It'll be skewed. You know, and I think that's the point about feeble faith brings forth feeble prayer. Feeble prayer is limited faith. So it's important that we pray. It's important what Jesus is saying. Failure to ask is a failure to exercise the faith that believes. Failure to ask God for what you want is a failure, you know, to really believe Him. Isn't that right? We should ask. You know, trying to think of who it was that said this, George Mueller, you know, he said, I live in the spirit of prayer, right? In the spirit of prayer, he referenced there was a spirit of prayer. He lived in that place asking God for the things he would want. Those things that he was convinced they were God's will and God's best. You know, I think that's the thing. You know, when we find ourselves in prayer and we find ourselves assured of the things that we know are God's good and His best for us. Is that right? That's kind of like the things that we'd be asking Him for our life, a greater liberty that can accomplish things, that, you know, in His presence, a greater offensive that we could do more things for His glory so that we might be able to show forth His glory and be like. So those kind of things, I really think they're really important to God more than they are sometimes to us. We need to align ourselves up with Him and begin to ask, because you must ask in order to have the things that you desire is the first thing. It's important to ask, isn't it? You know, none of us would work for someone. Some of you may have businesses or may work for someone else, but you'd never think about, you know, not going and asking for the business. You know what I mean? You go and you bring forth as an ambassador the wishes of the person you work for and what they desire and how you can help them, and you ask for their business. You ask for the check. If you don't ask, you won't get. Is that right? I mean, even the world confirms that. Even our own experiences in this natural world tell us, if you don't ask, you can't. And I hear that on the radio all the time. You know, just being espoused by certain kinds of thinkers, you know, that are not necessarily Christian in their view, but they say, yes, it's just a fact. It's like gravity. And that speaks to the point. It's like gravity. You can't have it if you don't ask. And it's so true in God's economy that you must ask in order to receive. Jesus says it's important that you pray. He spoke this parable so that men ought always to pray and not to faint, so that they might continue to ask God for those things that they desire. You mentioned, I don't know how you put it last night, but it's a vigorous faith. I wrote that down, but I didn't. Vitally active energy. You said that before, and I've written it down before. Vitally active. Say it again.
Vitally active, energetic, and forceful.
A vigorous faith. God, that's what God wants to be faith. Vitally active and energetic, forceful. A vigorous faith is committed to incessant asking. That's the point of this parable. We're going to keep asking. We're not going to give up. George Mueller said, once I'm convinced it's something God's will, we'll keep asking for it. Does the enemy ever try to discourage you? I found myself a bit challenged even a little while ago in kind of preparing some things. So just the enemy wanted to put stuff on you. You know what I'm saying? Wanting you to just heaping things on you. Just look into the field going, oh no, just this dread, the spirit of dread. You ever get that way? You know, I kind of looking forward to tomorrow, the next day, or wondering about, you know. But that's not God's plan and purpose for His people. He wants you and I to smile at the future. Is that right? He wants us smiling at the future because of who we know, because of His benefits, because of His strength, because of the limitless power that's ours and available to us when we pray, that you can't have if you don't ask. Jesus said this just to challenge us to ask. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. John 16:24 says, before now you've asked me nothing. But you're going to ask me in my name, I'm going to do it. I'm paraphrasing, but just to get you through these scriptures, that's John 16:24. Heretofore you've asked me nothing. I want you to ask. God's saying ask. He's challenging us. John 14:14 says, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You know, God didn't limit that. You know, to some degree, we kind of want to go, God's not, that's too big for Him, or, you know. Well, you know, James talks about asking and asking amiss and being selfish. I agree with that. That's right. I mean, I think it's not just name it, claim whatever you want, but from a place of prayer, you will get an idea of what pleases Him. And faith pleases Him. And it is right that you and I ask Him for the things that He knows that we need, even sometimes the little things. But the point is Don't be afraid to ask. You know what? I would even also go this far. I don't care what it is. Don't be afraid to ask. When you were a child, you asked your father for whatever it was. Foolish as it may be, you might have asked him for it. He might have said, though, it was an instructive lesson. No, son, no, not right now. I remember when we used to go to the ball game, my dad would say, well, we'll get a souvenir. Okay, we'll get a souvenir. Oh, yeah, we'll get after you. But I don't think it ever happened. I think he was just putting me off. It just really wasn't the thing to do. We weren't going to spend money on those kind of things. But the point is, it's a learning exercise. I still think it's beneficial for you and me to ask, because until we ask, we don't really know what the Father thinks about it. So it's important that we ask. God says, I think ask and ask big, and don't be afraid to ask. Ask anything in my name, and I'll do it, he said. John 21:22 says, ask all things believing, and you shall receive them. Mark 9:22 is a place where Jesus has just come down from the Mount Transfiguration. And he's been with his disciples, this close bunch, and they beheld his glory. And they come down from the Mount, and there is a father there whose son wasn't able to be healed by the disciples. They couldn't cast the demon out, right? And you know what they asked him why. And Jesus said, because this kind has to come out through much prayer and fasting. Is that right? So that prayer is directly related to that offensive move to put the enemy to flight. It just is what it is. You can't separate that. You know, you mentioned prayer last night. It's very, very important, and it hinges, all things hinge on that work that's to be done in that place. That place is of asking. But in Something Bounds Road, he makes a point about the disciples and their inability to heal that boy. It was a poor reflection on Jesus. In other words, the without taking the time to read there in Mark 9, where the disciples failed because of their prayerlessness, he says to Jesus, if you can do that. Just look at it real quick. Turn to Mark 9. Mark 9. Well, I wouldn't take the time to do it. But I believe it's in about verse 22. Jesus said, how long is this? Has it been since he came into it? He said, of the child, let's see. He oftentimes, is what the Father says in verse 22, it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us to help us. Isn't that what the enemy comes to do? To destroy. He comes to destroy. You know, it's imperative that we have these works of prayer so that we're able to do this kind of thing, that we're able to have the kind of faith that pleases Jesus rather than leaves him angry, rather than leaves him sort of put off, and rather than leaves him in a bad spot. You know, this is a poor reflection on Jesus, Bound says. It poorly reflects on Jesus because the Father says it often comes to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In other words, the man says, if you can, Jesus. In other words, I've tried your disciples and I didn't get too much there, Jesus. This is a poor reflection on the Master. It was a poor reflection. Our lack of faith, our stemming from our lack of prayerlessness, is poorly reflects on Jesus. And we're not able to accomplish those things that we would. We're not able to, you know, put the enemy to flight. You know, how oftentimes have we prayed at the problem and nearly not so much move? You know what I mean? You don't think you can do this and have not had some of those days, okay? I think practically speaking, you're going to have some of those days. You know, we're kind of left more wondering why and how. And yet God wants us to be more offensive than that. We need that place of prayer. We need to ask for the things that we desire and recognize. You know something? Recognize this, that we need our faith to be quickened and enlarged in God's power. We need a faith. We need to pray so that our faith is enlarged and it's quickened by the power of God. You know, that's our problem, too. You say, well, our problem is unbelief. That's true. Our problem is power. You know, we lack the power. Is that right? I mean, that's the problem with the church. I heard my son say that here recently. You know, he was visiting around some churches. He said, well, I really didn't see that. You know, really, that's our problem in the church. You know, we have a lack of power, not seeing the power, stemming from our unbelief. Think about it. Well, we don't really believe God can or He will or He probably won't. I haven't really ever seen Him do that. So, why ask? You know, the problem stems from our unbelief and our lack of power. We need a faith that's quickened and enlarged in God's power to believe. You know, that was the model prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4:9. You know, the place where the only thing that's really recorded about a man named Jabez was that he asked God and God gave him what he asked. And one of the things he asked was that God would enlarge him, enlarge his capacity, enlarge his borders. It was an enlarged place, a place of having his, you could say it was a place of boundless faith. I think that's true. I wrote this down. Prayer is the proving ground of God's power because faith is increased in the capacity to believe. I'll say it again. Prayer is the proving ground of God's power because faith is increased in the capacity to believe. God wants to increase our faith when we pray. He increases our faith. You know, I think that's kind of what Nikki was saying today. It's a validation point. You know, like you say, it's not free. What's just free? It's an earned kind of thing. And the way you're, I think that's the proper context. In that place of prayer, it's sort of an earned kind of thing. It's sort of proven out. It's earned so that our faith is validated. It gets God's stamp of approval, and He says, "Okay, you proved that thing out. So now I'm giving you the ability to walk it out, so that by offensive measure you have the ability to want to walk it out." We need the place of prayer so that God would quicken and enlarge our faith and our capacity to believe on Him, rather than just look at things as we see and just get so discouraged. I don't know about what you know, that's our biggest problem, isn't it? The two eyes He gave you and thinking that's all there is. When He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, that means it's completely a spiritual thing, and yet sometimes this is all the only sense we got is what our two eyes see. That's not multidimensional, you know. It's not even using the brain God gave us. When God said it's a spiritual thing, why we continue to look at it that way? Prayer is the proving ground of God's power because our faith is increased in its capacity to believe on God. You know, Bounds puts it this way. He says that God wants us to have a boundless faith. If we try to hedge God in, we wind up with a little God and a little faith.
Amen.
And we need to have a big God and a big faith. You know, our faith is the key to God's pleasure. Is that right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, we can't limit God if we see greater things. We can't limit God if we want to see greater things. And I don't know about you, but my flesh tends to, we just kind of, you know, even children, I'll share a little story in a minute, but even children look for boundaries. Which indicates as men, as people of the flesh, this human condition, we just look for boundaries. We just look for the boundaries, and that's it. We just want to know what our limits are. And God says, "I want you to get that out of your thinking. I want you to be unlimited in your thinking and in your capacity." You know, there was a chaplain that we've been trying to share, have an opportunity and asking for God to kind of open the door, looking for God to open a door in a local prison close by. There's about 600 inmates, and they're only there probably 6 months, and then they're gone. So it's got a good turnover. I like the turnover, and it's younger, tend to be 20s and 30-something kind of guys. He says it's kind of a place of last resort for some of those guys before they're facing a big prison. And this is more of an intervention in a sense that they got to make some decisions here. I met with the chaplain, but I had a good meeting with the chaplain, but prior to that, the week before, it was really kind of a bad deal. I had myself and another gentleman who had gone up and taken the class that we were supposed to do so that we could go and be a part of the services. And, you know, but I didn't get a good feel of the day we were there. For some reason, I thought, well, this is purely my two eyes, right? I'm thinking, this chaplain don't really like us. At one point, he did something that I thought was kind of rude. His men, I thought, well, it's kind of rude. You know, I'm just not getting a really good vibe, you might say. And I'm, you know, so I called him about four times the next week. He didn't answer my phone calls. And I'm thinking, man, this is not looking, shaping up to be really good, you know. Honestly, I had in my mind worked up, I had my speech worked up that I was going to work him over if he gave me an opportunity. You know, how come he shouldn't have rejected me, you know. And what did I do? I had all this thing running in my mind. You know, he called me later in the week and he said, "I bet you're wondering where I was. Or what's been going on?" I said, "Yeah, I mean, I was just," and he said, "Oh, I've been on vacation." And my wife tried to tell me it might be something like that, but I thought, no, he read something on the internet. And no telling what, you know what I mean? He might have read something that just really, you know, whatever, made his hair stand on end. You know what I mean? I don't know. He really rejected me. And it turned out it was none of that. You know, it was such a good meeting. In fact, one of the things he said to me, that was our biggest problem sometimes, is basically, and I'm paraphrasing, how the devil just beats our brains out. We're denying his existence. And we're stupid to realize that there he is, trying to overpower and overtake our thoughts. And there I was. You could say limiting God in God's ability to go beyond that, you know. To know that God was able to make a way. If he wanted us there, he'd make a way. And in fact, he made a better way than I would have thought. You know, when it was all said and done, God's not limited. I wrote this down and I think it's worth noting. God is not limited by those boundaries which limit men. Therefore, we are right to believe and even ask for things which are hindered by our human condition and limitations. Hence, Jesus bids us to speak to the mountains to move. He wasn't talking about mountains. The spiritual obstacles that there impede our forward progress. He says, speak to those things. I want to read a scripture to quote. I think it's from, I believe it's this one. I want to read it to you from the New Living. I like the way it puts it. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This is true. You can take this to the bank. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone who you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. In other words, it's going to have to be on God's terms, as Nikki was saying. Ain't going to be on your terms. That's 99% of our problem. We pray it. We want it on our terms. It's not on our terms. Then God didn't do, you know. You realize how prideful that is? God didn't do it my way. We ought to stop and wait a second and regroup to say, Father, how come I'm hearing a no? How come I'm being halted up here when your word says, you know, is Jesus talking about mountains? He's not talking about mountains. I don't ever see where Jesus moved a mountain. It ain't about mountains for mountain's sake. Isn't it interesting? He talks about mountains. And I've grown up thinking about that, moving this mountain. You can do this, move this mountain. He never moved a mountain. He's talking in spiritual terms that you can say to those things, there are obstacles that you look at and you perceive with your own two eyes and you think, there is no way. Believe on God that He has a way. He has a way beyond what you see. We're all, I think most in this room, old enough to realize that by now. That it's not never what you think. Is that right? It's like never what you think. You're never sometimes what you think. You're never able to do the things that you think you can do. God has a way of frustrating that to show you just how petty you are, how unable you are. Yeah. And without relying on Him, we'll listen to the voice of the enemy and He'll just take you down with that kind of thinking. And God wants to build you up to recognize, no, you aren't anything, but with me and my power, you can do all things. Matter of fact, I can move you to boundless kinds of thinking. You know, my grandson, I'm a grandpa. She's glad to get the last one through college where they start calling me grandpa. But anyway, she called me, they call me something else. They call me Paul. I don't know if that's any better than grandpa. I just Paul, you know, that's all right. No, I like that. Anyway, the story that my daughter told, he was down at his father-in-law's. He's kind of a father-in-law's kind of a gruff, kind of a coach type guy. He told him not to play with his food. And the boy dropped something on the floor. And, you know, the old man thumped him, you know, and said, hey, boy, I told you, I mean, kind of startling, you know, he kind of got this little grin on his face, I guess. And then the next thing you know, the milk goes flying, you know. And my daughter said, hey, he raised his voice at him. And of course, you know, she said, one report she got was he dropped the milk, and the other report, what he got was, he got through the milk. She said, that's probably what he did, if I was guessing. I didn't see it. But I thought of something. Isn't that what we do? Just in that little baby, he's just a little one-year-old boy, is able, he wants to give him some boundaries. I'm going to test this till you show me this is the limit. These are my limits. That's the nature of man, to find out what our limits are. We want to go someplace and want to find out how far I can go, what my limits are, what my capacity is, how much I can do, how much I can't do. You know what? To live in God's economy, we can completely think differently. We have to think like children. We have to completely get that kind of thinking out of our mind if we want our faith enlarged to receive more from God's power. We need to think like a child. Think differently is the point. I wrote this down, and I you know, sometimes I think God will give me something to shrug down, and I think it's like a divine directive kind of thing. I really believe that. I wrote it down this way. God wants you boundless in your belief and expectation of Him. Now, I think you can take that's something God's trying to say to you. That's not really something it just comes out. God wants you boundless in your belief and expectation of Him. He don't want you limiting Him. If the Word says, I can do all things through Christ. If Jesus says, you pray and you ask. If Jesus says that at all times you pray and you keep on and you don't let go, and you can have those things, but will He find faith on the earth? Is He going to find somebody persistent? The urging is to be persistent about the things He's telling us if we want to see His victory. You know, and I think that's going to take some prayer to overcome the voice of the enemy and our own two eyes to get us to that place. But it's going to take a place with Him, and it's a place that walks. Really what was being said last night, a place of boldness. So that you and I don't limit God, but we have an expectation of Him. Do you expect God? Are you expecting some things from Him? Are you expecting Him to do some things? Or are we listening to the enemy that discourages us to really have no expectation? He's our hope. He's our hope. Just moments ago, the enemy wants to bring this spirit of dread. Oh, what about tomorrow? I'm thinking, well, God, you've taken care all of these years. You've proved to me over and over and over again. When I left Wyoming and left the good church job, that had the good paycheck and the school for my children and had it all mapped out. When I left that to get to nothing, you might say, God provided that first year almost to the penny of what monies that I lost. And He provided without asking anybody for anything. Don't ask me how that works. I mean, if you look at the shape of our little church and our little condition of the little church all these years and to think God provide, I mean, seriously, that's almost like a miracle. Most people modern man wouldn't look at that and believe it. But God's done it. I can testify to that. God's done it. In spite of me, in spite of, only to prove that point that God is a God who knows no limits, and He only wants you and me to expect and to ask Him and not be afraid to ask and keep asking so that He might enlarge my capacity. So when I see it go, I've been around long enough to know it ain't like I'm seeing this thing. This God that I think is about, He's rejected me. No, it just, hold on. Check that to my power. Check that to my ability. Call on my name and let my increase come and see my ability and my hand move. We need to gain a place if our prayers is asking, if it's having its increase in power. He wants us to gain boldness. That's what was being shared last night. Carl was sharing that we must gain a boldness through our prayer that gains the necessary advantage. That is offense. That's offensive. Not being offensive, playing offense. Being offensive to the works of the enemy. Vanquishing his works. We must gain a bold advantage. God has that in place of prayer. It's a place where He validates us and gives us a bold advantage. When you have a bold advantage, that means you're not afraid to speak. Is that right? Boldness. Well, I need some boldness. I find from the place of prayer when I have confidence with God, I don't lack for boldness. I don't lack, and I'm not saying boldness the way we think boldness, where we, Peter was on the mountain and he had a boldness. Lord, we've seen the good things that are happening, and he was right. The glory of God, they witnessed it. There was a boldness there in Peter's life, but still God had to perfect that. And still in spite of himself, he used that. But the point is, it's really not man's boldness. It's a confidence with God that God wants to produce and give us the necessary advantage. And I thought of Sarah, something I was reading about. Sarah, he pointed out, she laughed at God's promise, didn't she? She laughed at God's promise. Moses balked at the liberty plan God had for his people. Is that right? Because he had some speech issues. You got some issues? The enemy would have you think those issues are too great or too large, or God can't overcome those things. I'm thinking he's wanting you and me to believe on Him.
Yes.
I'm thinking he's wanting you to believe Him in a greater way. I think he's wanting you to keep coming so that you don't lose heart. You know, I had this sense the other day. I was in the yard mowing or doing something, or kind of, it wasn't in my yard, but I was mowing. It was a whole lot too much to mow, but I was mowing. Kind of, I got here and mowing a bunch of stuff. And I found myself just stopping, and I thought, I had this sense, it just kind of came over me, of how I there were some people that maybe weren't coming to church, or they stopped it. It was almost like they had lost heart, and I thought, well, you know, I can identify. Sometimes we all find that place where we just kind of want to just give up based on what we see. And I had this sense that God was trying to say to his people, I don't care what you see. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it looks like it's all this and nothing. I have the ability to turn it and make it all come back the other way. I want you to believe me. And I want God's people to believe me. I want God's people to hold on to me and believe I have the power to change things just like that. Will we believe him? Because he certainly does. He has I guess that was what I was saying with this chapter when I least expected it. I had already had the case built in my mind. I mean, I was going to work, you know, and I was wondering what I was going to say to him. You know, we got to have a boldness to have that advantage so that we don't get caught up with our issues like Moses. We know that people, it's a matter of just continue to speak boldly, to be bold in the face of the opposition. You know, what's the enemy been saying to you? What's he been saying to you? I know what he's been saying to me. It's real discouraging, you know, at times. You know, it's real depressing at times. You find yourself depressed, discouraged, you don't know why. It's the enemy. Wake up. It's the enemy. And what we need is the bold advantage. What you said last night, how oftentimes we play in defense? We're just waiting until he shows up. As opposed to, you know, until we finally like, you know, don't you get it? You know, as opposed to being with God, to having a word of offense that puts the enemy to flight. A word that God wants to give us. You know, it took Moses 40 years to get through, you know, on God, or God to get through on him. 40 years to walk out God's liberty plan. To get over himself, you might say. There's, you know, in some sense, hold on, because there's a process, and the process is going to be worked out as we find ourselves in prayer, because prayer really is the answer. It's the answer to unbelief. It's the answer to having your faith enlarged and your prayers answered. It's the ability to get relief when you don't see your prayers answered as fast as you want. It's the ability to hold on during a 40-year process of wondering, is God ever going to hear my prayer and do the things that I ask? It's the ability to hold on. According to the parable Jesus told, it won't be long as you think. It won't be nearly as long as you think. According to the unrighteous judge, he gave her what she asked for so she wouldn't worry now. It's important that we're willing to ask God. It's important that we find this bold advantage so that we're able to walk it out on God's path. I wonder sometimes the place God has had me. It's been a place where I really truthfully wondered, you know, why I've been where I've been. Because I never had had a desire to go. This is going to sound strange for someone that has been in church work, and I didn't have a desire to go the way of a system. A proven system that yielded proven results and proven people in pews and proven paycheck, and it's pretty tidy. You know, I just didn't really have that in my heart to do, you know. But that leaves you rather flat-footed outstanding in your field without the place of prayer. Because you can make that turn, that road you think God's on, but if you don't find him on that road, you ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? It's a tremendous, discouraging place at times. And God's trying to say, you know, if you don't walk this thing out in prayer, if you don't come to find me in the place of prayer, you're never going to find me. You're not going to find him looking at me anyway. Besides that, what I want to do, it has to be proven in your life. It has to be you and me in relationship, and that only takes place in my presence. I don't know why we can't. We think we're going to get it by turning on the radio and listening to 100 preachers today. God says, I want you to come away with me, because you're not really going to get it if you don't get it. I don't mean to minimize good preaching or biblical preaching. This is the point. We need all that besides. It's a good thing to encourage one another. The Bible says to do it. But he also says to pray at all times, to pray so that we might find the necessary advantage, the boldness that God wants for our life. Balance puts it this way, that God wants to take his people to school. He had to take Moses to school. He had to take Abraham and Sarah to school. The school is showing them. You know, I have a pastor friend of mine who, He's been through a great deal of hardship through the divorce and some different things, and he found himself 60 years old, out of a church, trying to start another one, just a few people in a community center, and wondering what him and his wife are going to do. They're trying to do some mission work to Africa. And he says to me, "Oh, well, man, we're just kind of wondering what's going to happen. I mean, you know, because I only had some money, you know, and that's kind of running out. And, you know, well, I got to get a fun job." And he said, "You know what? God just came to him out of the blue." They began praying. They began making it a matter of prayer for his work, and they began praying. He said, "I just want to say this to encourage you. It came as a result of prayer we least expected. We began praying that God would, and God did, and it was through a least expected thing. It was through an old job that he had that, you know what I mean, you thought that bridge was burnt and gone. The guy comes to him and says, 'I want you to be the head chaplain over our facility.'" And he was sharing with me, he's been rather busy, and both not only work for him, but him and his wife. They both have work now in that particular place. And God's placed him over the whole kind of thing, and on the management team of the particular nursing facility, but they also have a rehab and some other things. But here's the point that it encouraged me, something he said. You know, he said, "Some of these people are, this is their last stop. Some of these people," he says, "you know, death's a process." You know, in other words, he sees it happening, and it doesn't happen immediately, but it's coming. And he sees that. He says, "You know, I begin going to some of these people." Some of them say, "Oh, no, there's some resistance and opposition." But he said, "You know, sometimes I'll go 4 and 5 times. I'll keep going. And finally," he says, "at some point in that process, someone begins to cry out. Someone begins to reach out. Someone begins to say, 'Yeah, I'd like for you to pray with me.'" Yeah, in other words, God is, by his faithfulness and continue to go, you could say the boldness of not looking at what you see and just accepting the rejection, but to continue to press through to say, "This is God's will, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep on with this person who's rejected me. I'm going to keep on in their life till at some point in the process, they receive you." And I thought, well, that's a pretty good template for our success in Christ, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I like it put off. That's it. I'm kind of rather over and done with you. You know what I mean? That's about all she wrote. You know, that's the nature of my flesh. I shouldn't have to speak that. That's not really a good thing, you know? But I'm learning and I'm seeing the importance and the value of going, you know, to do God's will, we're going to have to be patient. And we're going to have to keep on and keep on and not listen to the lie of the enemy and that spirit that would tell us, "Oh, you know, they rejected, they received." But to continue, and even seeing God do some great things. God says to Moses in Exodus 4:12, "Go ahead, I'm paraphrasing, go and I will be with your mouth and teach you," is what he told Moses. Go on anyway. You got some issues, but I want you to go, and I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. Sounds like offense, doesn't it? You go ahead and go. You go forward, and I'll teach you if you'll listen to me. Numbers 11:23, God states, "Has my hand waxed short that it can't accomplish?" I want you to turn to Ephesians 3:20. I'm about done, but I want to read this scripture to you because it blessed me when I read it. Ephesians 3, verse 19 to 21. Let me read this. It speaks of God's power. It speaks of the power when we pray and the boldness that comes. Ephesians 3, 19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly beyond what we can even pray. It's important that we pray, but He's able to do exceedingly beyond. You know, Bounds makes the point that through prayer we obtain the promises. I think the Word bears that out, right? Through prayer, through faith that happens in prayer, we obtain the promises. I think He's spoken in reference to Moses and those men of faith in Hebrews. Through faith, through prayer, we obtain the promises, but Bounds even goes further to say it was through prayer that we obtain the promises, but promises are literally created in God's presence. You know, the reference it makes to, Daniel, as well, but Daniel. He tells the king that God's the interpreter of dreams. He's obtaining God, that God has a promise. But it wasn't until he went to prayer until he got the interpretation. In the place of prayer, and the point, and according to bounds, the point is that when we pray, we obtain promises. And by faith, we obtain the promises that God has for us. But he purifies and clarifies and he repackages those promises for us, you might say. He literally creates the promise. He creates more things to hold on to, more things to claim in his name and hold on to. God wants us to find that boldness to gain the necessary advantage so that we not only obtain, but we create promise, the promise. Isaiah 45:11, one last scripture, I think. I may read one more. Isaiah 45:11, God says, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hands command you me." I think maybe you get the flavor that God's interested in you asking him. He's interested in you calling on his name. He's interested in you praying for your family. He's interested in those things that concern you. Just about the time you don't think he will, that's the time he's wanting you to say, "Don't give up." That's the enemy. I want you to believe on me that you might have a bold advantage. I think you could sum it up this way and say this, that by prayer you can get what you ask for. You can have the things that you desire. They're God's. By prayer you can get in on the power, and by prayer you can find a bold, bold offense. God wants us to have a bold offense. I think God says this according to Romans 8:32. Turn there if you will. Someone read it. Romans 8:32. Read it when you get it. Romans 8:32. If you have it in the New Living, read it. Or anything. Whatever you got.
"He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?"
That's good. Promise I think we can take to the bank. If he didn't spare Jesus, I mean, that's his most precious thing. You got anything? You got anything too big? You got anything that you couldn't ask him for that wouldn't be near and dear? That through Christ, because of him and because of his activity in your life and a greater faith that could be increased so that you might trust Jesus, that he would want to do for you? I think he just wants you to ask. I think that's more the point. Sometimes we're wondering and arguing about if it's something he wants or not. Just ask. I ask and let God be God. Let him do the answer and whether he wants to answer it or not. You know, he may want to redefine what you're asking, but Give him that place. God says this is another thing I think God wants to speak to you. He says, "Live large in the possibilities found in my presence. They are unlimited and boundless, and they come by faith." God says, "I want you to live large in those possibilities." This is how I feel led just to close this way. A couple of things. It's important that, you know, what's rooted here, you could say, in that unbelief. You know, we're talking about praying so that we might have faith. And dispense, but how do we dispense with the work of unbelief? I think it's important to bind that strong man of unbelief, okay? But this unbelief, I wrote this down, that the spirit of unbelief, it's this antichrist spirit, the spirit of unbelief, it has it's the unbelief. It's the antichrist spirit. It's an accusing spirit. Oh, you know, God's not going to, God's not giving you what you want. Or he accuses you, you're just not up to the task. The way it works for me. You're just not there. I mean, you know, why go out there on a limb? You're just not there yet. You really need some more, you know, remedial work in your life, you know. And all of those things could be true. But it's an accusing spirit. It's a complaining spirit. A spirit that gripes and complains and mumbles and mutters instead of confesses the greatness and glory of God. Instead of confessing and lifting up God. Something about, there's an old song we used to sing in a choir. I've never been much on choirs, but I've sung in a few of them. That's just not really me, but I was in this choir, and the old chorus we said, "It's amazing what praising can do. It's amazing what praising can do." It's like, it's an old, kind of an old song. But it blows away the fog. That fog, that gloominess the enemy wants to heap over your life and hinder. Praise God. Get in his presence so that it blows away the fog of confusion, the fog of doubt, the fog of unbelief. So the strong man will be bound. It's a complaining spirit. That's a proud spirit. You know, that spirit of pride. I didn't get what I prayed. I did pray. God didn't answer me. I asked him for 10 years. You know, it was in the 11th year God really wanted to do something. But the 10th year, you know, I prayed. You know,
Proud spirit. It's a proud spirit. It's a lying spirit, you know. We don't believe what God said. God said always pray. God said all, you know, when God uses words like any and always, you know, as men, we've lived long enough to know that as men, anytime anyone tells you any, always, I just know I'm looking for a mark for him to give up on that. Because most people never follow through. When they say, oh, I'm going to always be there for you, brother. I'm thinking, I'm waiting for you tomorrow. I'm hoping you'll be around tomorrow. You know, we've learned that, but God's word, you know, there's our doubt and unbelief. We've lived long enough to know anytime people use those words, they can't really mean it, right? But God really means it. Any and always. It's a spirit of a lying spirit that would lie to us. Not to believe what we see, to believe what we see. It's a stubborn spirit to resist what God's word says. It says, I can do all things. Multiple of the scriptures that say limitless are his power. He says, speak to the mountain, and why don't we do that? Because we just don't believe. Our heart's been hardened. It's a hardness of hearts. It's that spirit of unbelief. It is a prayerless spirit, and it is all things counter to the spirit of God. So it's important, I think. I also want you to stand. We'll just close that way. And ask God to remove and bind that strong man of unbelief and remove that Antichrist spirit. And grant us, Brother Talk was talking about God granting. You know, it is all about Him granting and doing those things. It's His will, His wishes, according to His plan about what He grants. And He has the ability to grant us the spirit of prayer. Right? Grant us the spirit of prayer while we want to pray. To actually get something when I do pray. And it's not so hard. That's why He's given us His Holy Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. He's given us the ability of His Holy Spirit to pray in a new language, to speak and to use that and work back and forth and where He would give my mind understanding. He's the helper. Let's look to Him. Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. And we right now, we bind the strong man of unbelief. We bind the strong man in his power of unbelief and take the offensive measures to cut him off in Jesus' name. We bind that Antichrist spirit in Jesus' name and command him out from our life and our this building. We command his resources and his activities cut off. His lying spirit in Jesus' name, we remove that. The proud spirit of unbelief, the spirit that's a lying spirit that says live by what you see instead of believe what God's word says because he's proved himself over and over again. We resist that lying spirit in Jesus' name and command him up and out. We thank you. We resist the stubborn spirit that just chooses to live life according to what seems comfortable to him and the way that seems right rather than pressing through to a new comfort level with God, of first having his own interrupted so that he might find comfort with God. I like that word. I love that word that was used, that the word softly. Lord, thank you for that word. That Lord, help us to be people who are softly walking with you. There's a softness in our approach, and I believe that softly gives us the ability of great boldness. Because it's humility of God's ability over and above ours. So we just thank you for that. We bind every work of unbelief, every lying spirit of the enemy that works against your children to hinder your forward progress and to hinder us from being on offense. We bind that lying spirit of unbelief in Jesus' name. Antichrist spirit of unbelief be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we receive right now the spirit of prayer. We ask you, Lord. Lord, if now, if you're in the process of working us through, Lord, we don't know how you do, but we're asking you for it. We ask you for the spirit of prayer. That each person that, Lord, we would recognize, Lord, reading your word's important, but praying is essential, and it can't be overlooked. We ask you, Lord Jesus, would you give us a new and fresh approach and a new desire to pray? Would you enable the work and power of your Holy Spirit? Lord, would you baptize us with your Holy Spirit if we don't? Give us a heart to want that. I believe you'd bring that right now. You did with me. You didn't have to add any other beyond just the desire to want it. Lord, we ask you, pour out your Holy Spirit on those who receive. Fill them up with your Holy Spirit and give them more your gifts. Give them the baptism of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give them the ability to speak in language, Lord, beyond their own, Lord, where you pray for them and your helper helps them and gives them words and utterance beyond their own. We ask you, Lord, for the spirit of prayer in Jesus' name. We thank you for the spirit. We thank you that yours is the spirit of prayer. We thank you that, Lord, you have the power. You have the ability to bring us into your presence. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the sweetness of your presence. We thank you for the greatness of your name. And we thank you for that song that, and Lord, everything else will pass away, but Lord, there's something about your name. We thank you for the sweetness of your name. We bless you for that. We ask you, Lord, impart that spirit of prayer to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.